Jaden Daniels, without a doubt, the star from last night. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. It was a Monday Night Football doubleheader. First game was a blowout. Trevor Lawrence and the Jags were awful, terrible. No show to game in Buffalo. They got lots of problems now at 0-3. Doug Peterson now should be on the hot seat. We can unpack that game. But the nightcap, the varsity game, if you will, was very, very impressive from Jaden Daniels, who threw more touchdown passes, Perloff, three, than incompletions, which was only two, against a vaunted, or what used to be a very vaunted, Cincinnati Bengal defense that could not have an answer or stop anything Jaden Daniels wanted to do.
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible. You know how some Monday night games you call it the blank game? Like, this is going to be the Jaden Daniels game. Do you remember the Jaden Daniels breakout game? Totally. I think this is a game we're going to remember for a long, long time. It was, I mean, I'm a big Jaden Daniels fan. You are, too. I mean, won the Heisman last year. The thing about when he was at LSU, I felt like he gained 20 yards on every play. I could not believe he either ran for 20 yards or threw, and that guy is back. It felt like he was a little shaky the first 2 weeks, wasn't totally accurate. Now it looks exactly like LSU, Jaden Daniels. Now, his offense coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, you could see the Kingsbury-Kyler Murray plays. Like, they are a perfect marriage. The play actions, this sort of when he rolls out to the right and has all these different options, it's a perfect marriage of coordinator and quarterback, and this is going to be good. That being said, I still think their defense stinks. So as an Eagles fan, I'm not totally panicking.
Okay.
Washington couldn't. I don't think they have a really scary defense. I can't really name too many Washington defenders.
Yeah, the Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen interior was getting criticized last night on the broadcast quite a bit.
Now, the highest paid tackle combo in the NFL did nothing.
No, they didn't. But again, you're going up against Burrow. You're going up against Burrow, Jamar Chase, and T. Higgins. I know this was his first game of the season, but that should be a very good offense. And oh, by the way, they lost one of their linemen last night and still were right in this game. So, you know, the Bengals is a tough assignment offensively. But here's the thing about Daniels. What I saw was, you're right about the perfect combination. Knowing when to go for the explosive play, like the second down, it's like second and five, I think, and they go to Terry McLaurin, pardon me.
Yeah, who looked like Jamar Chase last night.
He looked like Jamar Chase. And it was just perfect. I mean, he got right behind the defense. The ball was like perfect, one of those sort of Willie Mays catches, like over the shoulder. I mean, just a thing of beauty. And to be able to have those explosive plays along with Jaden Daniels being able to run the ball, your third downs just become so much easier, air quotes, easy for me. They become so much easier when the quarterback is a weapon like that. You saw it in the early game with Josh Allen, and Josh Allen's been doing that his whole career. When it can be the quarterback on third and four, it's just everything is different, and we see this time and time again.
Well, did you see the Ravens salt away the win against the Cowboys?
Lamar Jackson picking up a first down.
Everyone knows when you're going to commit to the quarterback run, you're going to get a lot of first downs, but what's the downside? You know it. I know it.
Yeah, eventually, you expose your quarterback.
You expose your quarterback to hits. And you know what's great about Daniels? He showed like he does not need to run to just shred somebody. If you give him any time, forget it. He had a lot of first down passes too. My guy, Luke McCaffrey, on third down, very effective. He's got a slot receiver. Everything. And McLaurin's a 1A. He's a star.
Totally.
Can we do that poll today, by the way?
Yeah. Do you want to do the poll?
Yes.
Tell people
go ahead.
It is.
Okay, who's the best receiver in the NFC East? Seems easy. It is so hard. It's so even right now. CeeDee Lamb of the Cowboys, A.J. Brown of the Eagles, Terry McLaurin of the Washington Commanders, or Malik Nabers of the Giants.
It's tough.
I mean, CD should be the front runner. He got $34 million this offseason.
Right. Terry McLaurin also got paid, too, but not to the top of the market like that. And A.J. Brown was, I think when he signed that contract, he was the highest paid.
I believe he got more money.
He just got more money this offseason. I don't think it's the money. To me, it's probably the right answer is probably Lamb, but man, do I want to go with Nabers? Because Nabers is also catching balls from Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I mean,
It's like you have to grade him on a curve.
Nabers is like a superhero. And he did have a drop last week that cost him. But McLaurin, you love McLaurin.
You've always
loved Terry McLaurin.
Coming out of Ohio State, I liked him. So this was a big, big, big win for the Washington Commanders. Not only because they go to 2-1, but also because they're not going to be the walkover, pushover team. And Ryan Botcher did call it with our poll question today. Afraid of being a prisoner of the moment. Which quarterback would you rather have for the rest of their career, Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels? And Jaden Daniels is winning this poll 83-17. Yeah. I mean, I think I still got to go with Caleb, guys.
Wow.
Am I doing the Trevor Lawrence thing? Like, because Trevor Lawrence was so hyped up coming out of college, like, I'm just giving him, you know, I'm like, oh, it's in there somewhere.
Yeah.
But Caleb, listen, he threw the ball 50 times last week. You should not be asking your rookie to throw the ball 50 times. That's not good.
Yeah, but Jaden was a Heisman winner too. So like they should be on par with each other.
That's true.
I mean, Jaden's so much older than Caleb that's another factor. Caleb's
so
like 21.
Experience.
Yeah, Jaden's been playing a long time. I mean, do we put Bo Nix, speedy Bo Nix, into that poll?
Not yet.
No.
Not yet.
And you know, I love some Michael Penix.
Not yet. Not yet. I think Kirk's giving him a little bit of a stiff arm right now. I thought for sure we'd see Penix this year. Now I'm not so sure. But Jaden Daniels has got to be the runaway favorite for rookie of the year.
Remember my take that this was going to be the greatest quarterback class since 83, the John Elway, Dan Marino class? I felt really bad about it last week. I feel like I'm back in play with that take. It's a long way to go, but it does feel like you could have three really good players. I think Caleb's shown enough that you could say he has the potential to be a very good quarterback.
Yeah, I think we set Caleb up a little bit, almost, not because of Hard Knocks, although that, I think, helps Hurts. I don't know how many people watch that, but, you know, because, like, oh, well, he's got these great receivers, and he's got a good defense, and he's got this, that, and the other. Well, his offensive line doesn't look that good. Maybe we overlook that part.
And Keenan Allen's always hurt, and he's always hurt.
Right.
We did know that. And Rome Odunze is a rookie.
But the defense is not bad.
No, Eberflus had them playing well. DJ Moore, he's a star. They should get him the ball more. I think he's great. I think they're finding themselves. Again, it's very, we're judging this whole class after three games as a huge mistake.
We are, but Jaden Daniels puts on a performance like that, you're going to start asking questions. Now, the other question that is a landslide poll today is, are you out on Trevor Lawrence? 79% of the audience says yes, they are out on Trevor Lawrence. And here's the thing that's going to happen with Trevor. So right now, Doug Peterson's going to be on the hot seat. And he, after the game, is saying, everything's on the table. We've got to change everything. Well, I mean, what are you going to do, right? What are you going to realistically change? You're not getting Trevor out of there, that's for sure. Is your play design going to be that different?
Well, you need to not let up touchdowns every drive so you can establish a run game. You got Tank Bigsby and Trevor Etienne. Like,
yeah.
I think that's when I heard him say that, I was like, wow, we really need to find a way to rely on the run game. We do not need to have Trevor dropping back too much.
What?
Not that he, but you can't, like, you really, last night, by the way, they have not been bad on defense this year. I don't know what happened last night. Maybe Buffalo is that good. Think about week one, they really shut down Tua for 90% of that game.
Yep.
Week two against the Browns, they let up 18 points. So last night was more about the defense than Trevor. I think Trevor gets all the headlines.
Well, because here's the thing. When you are down two scores before you can blink, you know that the run game, now it's going to be harder to commit. It's harder to, like, stay on schedule.
Yeah,
I call that. Right. So your $50 million quarterback, even if everyone and their mom knows that you are trying to throw the ball, well, that's what happens. We saw Joe Burrow was down two scores last night, and they had to come back, and he still made it a game.
Down, they were within two scores, though. I mean, that game was beyond two scores really fast first quarter.
I get it, but if you go Bill score, then you go three and out, Bill score, then you have a field goal, as I think how it went last night.
Right.
It's incumbent on the franchise guy to try to keep your team in the game. And Trevor, instead, not only didn't keep his team in the game, he was out of his head. By the end of the first half, it's like he was seeing ghosts out there. He threw that ball. Listen, I love DeMar Hamlin. We all love the story.
Yeah.
Thank goodness he's great and alive and playing football. DeMar Hamlin, though, is not like an all-time safety. He's not a great talent. He's a backup who's out there, and he had the easiest interception he's ever had playing football.
Well, one thing, Trevor did come back after that. His feet got all tangled on that interception. He came back and he played okay after that. I mean, he wasn't
in the third quarter, but it was way too
little
too late. He
wasn't super embarrassing. You know, one thing about Joe Burrow's run game looked amazing. Like, that was the funny thing, too. Chase Brown was Chase Brown who had all the yards, or Zach Moss, or one of those guys was gashing the Washington Commanders defense. So I think it's a little unfair to put everything on Trevor. It seems like he's the number one overall pick. He gets $55 million. What you're saying is, for that $55 million, that's what you get. You get all that criticism. But come on, that was a full team effort.
Well, and the coaching staff is what you get.
The coaching staff is not landing there.
No, so what happens, right? Now, do you get a new coaching staff? So now yes. Trevor Lawrence has had three different head coaches
yes,
in the first 5 years.
It's what happens.
Oh, I mean, but here's the thing. If you keep saying it's the defense, well, then they might be more likely to look at a Belichick or something like that. So now you're going to have Belichick and Josh McDaniels in there. That's going to help Trevor Lawrence? Maybe.
Yeah. Can you put that poll up. Would you rather have Bill Belichick or Doug Peterson now in Jacksonville?
They'd rather have me and you out there as head coaches. Doug Peterson is, you know, they look lost.
I think they need a level of professionalism and accountability that's not there right now. And Doug Peterson seems to have a short shelf life. Like, his message gets old pretty quickly. He's obviously a talented coach. Yeah, I'd take Belichick in a heartbeat there.
I think there's something, too, about it spiraling, right?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
This happened week one when the ball gets punched out from Trevor Etienne when he's at the goal line, and there was still plenty of time left for Jacksonville to still win that game. I believe that happened in the third quarter, didn't it? And it was like, that's the momentum that kind of tilted the field.
That was a brutal. It was 17-7. They were about to, I think that was such a heartbreak. That whole the season seemed to fall apart then. They were about to put that game away. They're at the 1 yard line, and arguably their most talented skill position player screwed it up. That was tough.
Okay, but sorry, did I say Trevor Etienne, Travis? It's, you know what I'm talking about.
I think I said Trevor Etienne earlier, who of course is. Where is he now? Alabama, Georgia?
So here's the thing, though. Am I correct that happened in the third quarter?
Yeah.
You can't let it spiral, you know? And I think that's like a little of what happened last night. It's like nobody was there to stop the bleeding, and that's got to be Trevor. He's got to be the one to make a play. Hey, listen, it could come from Josh Allen Hines or whatever, and it could come from a defensive guy, but it wasn't last night.
Last night, there was nothing that could be done. I mean, Buffalo was on fire. I mean, you have to at least hold them to a field goal at some point. I mean, it was just, and not only that, it was so easy. It was just so easy for Buffalo to march down the field.
I know. Here's Doug Peterson on things spiraling when the team goes down early.
It's kind of human nature when you get down so fast. Now you're waiting for something to happen, and you know, it's a hard position to be in. And, you know, we have to be on the other side of it. We've got to make things happen earlier than later.
Can we also talk about their offensive line for 1 second? There was a line, I think it might have been Dan Orlovsky was calling the game. He said, well, the one thing the Jags are uncomfortable with is their left tackle, Cam Robinson, trying to block an edge rusher.
Yep.
I'm like, wait, isn't that the one thing a left tackle does? wait, is it? I'm like,
assignment.
What's the other thing that he does? Yeah. Like, they're terrified that their left tackle is going to have to face an edge rusher. That's not good.
And the Bills got home a couple times on Lawrence. I mean, they did have pressure in his face, which on the flip side of the ball, Josh Allen had all day. I mean, he was whatever he wanted.
Oh, my God.
Boop, boop, boop,
but the Jags are supposed to have a good defensive line with the other Josh Allen and with Trayvon Walker, who's, I know he's not a number one overall good, but he's okay. Where were they last night?
Two number one overall picks not holding their own on this team.
I have a question for you guys. Yeah. Who is the leader of the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Trevor Lawrence.
Does he feel like a leader? Like, to me, I watched this team, and it feels like they went so on the opposite of Urban Meyer. Like, they had just like they had a Tasmanian devil in their locker room, right? A guy who was just kicking the kicker and doing crazy stuff.
Right.
And they got Doug Peterson, notorious nice guy.
Well,
I see Trevor Lawrence, nice guy. I see Josh Allen, nice. Like, I think this team, they may need to go back. Not the only Urban Meyer, but they need a kick in the butt.
Belichick.
Like, it could very well be Belichick. He might be the guy. I look at this roster, I look at this coaching staff, and I'm like, I don't see. They got a glass jaw. Like, it's ironic. This is a team that got famous off of coming off the greatest comeback in NFL history in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And ever since then, it's like anytime they face adversity, I expect them to crumble. I don't hope or wish. It just happens.
Well,
and
think about who they came back on.
Another team with a glass jaw.
Exactly.
And Chargers. So, like, I look at the team and I just wonder, they got guys who are talented, guys who have accomplished a lot. I just wonder if, like, just the locker room just needs just somebody with an edge. Somebody to come in and kind of just rattle
some
cages.
Remember when they had Tom Coughlin in the front office?
I mean,
they had guys who were kind of ass kickers, for lack of a better term, and tough guys and salty guys.
I got to be honest. That is true. I think these are a lot of bad personnel decisions. It's Trent Baalke's a GM. I mean, taking Trayvon Walker over Aiden Hutchinson, you can say whatever you want about coaching and mentality. Like, that's an all-time whiff. I mean, Hutchinson's a Hall of Famer. He's unstoppable. Then they've made many mistakes like that. Like their roster, remember they spent all that money on wide receiver, and now they really don't have any wide receivers.
Oh, how about the pass just hitting Christian Kirk right in the helmet?
I mean, Brian Thomas, I guess, will be a receiver.
Brian Thomas looks great.
But generally, they've spent in a lot of different places. They've drafted a lot of different places, and they do not have a great roster. And obviously, Trent Baalke's quite a polarizing GM in the history of the NFL.
No doubt. 855-212-4227. Are you done with Trevor Lawrence? And also, who would you take now, call it now, for the rest of their career? Would you rather have Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams? Caleb is the generational guy. Jaden Daniels, obviously the Heisman Trophy winner also, and coming off a signature performance.
Yeah, it feels like, okay, Jaden Daniels got a little Joe Burrow magic too. The two of them, LSU guys playing last night, I just feel a connection, like just solid quarterbacks. Caleb feels like, even by the way, we came in the season, not to get into Caleb too much, but there was a lot of worried about his attitude. I don't know. Some of the times he looks a little down on the sideline. He's just not coming off like a quarterback all the time.
He's basically like all of his internal organs must be bleeding on the sideline. Yeah, this dude is taking major hits.
That's because he's not passing the ball.
Is my spleen still in there? Oh my gosh.
Until he was actually better this week, he's got to get rid of that football. He's trying to make these crazy plays. He's going to get hit. I'm not sure. Yeah, I might go Jaden. I understand. You're still Caleb?
I'm still Caleb.
I'll go Jaden.
I'm not going to be a prisoner of the moment like y'all.
I mean, Jaden Daniels had one of the great, arguably the greatest college football season in the history of the sport last year.
And he was maybe the greatest rookie quarterback performance we've ever seen.
He was 21 for 23.
Unreal. And it wasn't against a nobody team. It's against the Bengals on the road.
Anarumo.
Monday Night Football.
Yeah, you're right. The timing of our poll probably gives Daniel an edge. Watch the Bears win. The Bears will win next week, and we'll ask again, and the number will come down.
855-212-4227. Okay, you are welcome to weigh in on what we saw last night in the Monday night doubleheader. We have to get to San Francisco, though, the 49ers. More bad news. Could this be turning into just the absolute worst case scenario of seasons for San Francisco? We'll get to that next.
All right. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. It's so much easier during the football season. We were reaching for WNBA numbers about 6 weeks ago. But
there's one correct answer to this.
There's one correct answer to Defensive Player of the Week?
Yes.
All right. Who is it?
It's Damar Hamlin.
What?
I mean, come on.
He could have fair caught that interception.
Doesn't matter. It's everything that happened before. It's everything that's happened since. Damar Hamlin is an inspiration. He's used his fame to get basically defibrillators all over, you know, fields all over America for kids. Everything like that. He gets his first interception last night on Monday Night Football. The correct answer is Damar Hamlin. I don't know what EJ picked or Ryan, but that's the correct answer.
Okay, who picked this? It was you, EJ?
It was me.
I mean, I think there's one incredible defensive story this year, and it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. So TJ Watt, I mean, was normal TJ Watt. I would go TJ Watt or Aiden Hutchinson every week until those guys are blocked by somebody.
I mean,
TJ.
I mean, you guys are using logic. Maggie's talking about feel good story.
Yeah.
You know, Pearl wants to highlight stars. I am petty. I am all about revenge. I am all about getting my pound of flesh. Therefore, the Defensive Player of the Week this week is Jonathan Greenard, who had three sacks on Sunday against his former team, the Houston Texans, terrorizing C.J. Stroud. They said, hey, let's replace you with an old guy, Danielle Hunter. Well, there was one guy on the field who's making an impact on the edge rusher and was the guy who used to play for the Texans that's now on the Vikings. I love that he had that kind of performance against his former team, so I'm going with Jonathan Greenard.
You know, by the way, you know, speaking of petty, so Mike Tomlin of the Steelers says they have like a petty ball that they give out, right? And it's for guys who are playing their old team. And then, so that becomes public, and he's denying it like it's the nuclear codes. I'm like, dude, it's a freaking game ball. Like, don't worry about it. It's not that big of a deal. I actually kind of love it. I think other teams, if they're not doing it already, should absolutely do this.
Definitely. I love it. Yeah, because I feel like, to me, it actually, if you're talking about trying to build the right culture and wanting players to come to your team or want to stay with your team, if they actually acknowledge, hey, you've been disrespected, you've been doubted on, well, we love you here and we're going to give you a little love here, Yeah, it's great. I don't know why Tomlin doesn't want to talk to people about it, but, you know, Tomlin is like, oh, he's a Rubik's Cube trying to understand the words that come out of his mouth half the time.
he said some bizarre things after the game. It was great. Our buddy Gio and the WFAN, Greg Giannotti, does the best Mike Tomlin. Have you ever heard his Mike Tomlin impersonation?
Well, he worked in Pittsburgh for a couple of years. So
he knows, like, the random vocabulary that Tomlin uses. by the way, I did not say Eagles defensive tackle Jalen Carter, but Jalen Carter, people are saying, had the greatest defensive tackle game in the history of the sport. He was
people being Eagles fans?
People being Eagles fans. No, he impacted
the sport.
These guys on my phone keep telling me how great he was.
Here's a number from the Football Scout. Of course, a Twitter feed that I've never heard of. 18 impacted plays and 51
Belichick
snaps.
Worked for them, too.
He says that's the highest rated interior defensive tackle has had all season. Jalen Carter, I rewatched the game, was on an NFL Network again. Jalen Carter destroyed that game, which makes me think, by the way, that benching him and yelling at him and not liking him has inspired him to finally wake up and deliver. Like, that's what you do with a Jalen Carter. You bench him and you say, you better get your act together. Tough love. And he's then he came after Sirianni at the end of the game because he was still so fired up.
Yeah. Say, Big Dom, where were you then?
So that's why I wonder, by the way, like you were saying, Dak Prescott is right to call out the team. Sometimes guys need calling out and inspires them. So anyway, that's a long way of saying Jalen Carter also should have been considered. But Grenard was a good choice. We should have thought of that, Maggie.
Yeah, maybe we should have thought
DeMar Hamlin, though, get out of here.
No, you get out of here. I DeMar bet that's going to make the Today Show today. This is going to be all over. DeMar Hamlin transcends football.
Are you kidding me? Really?
Yeah.
He's going to make for that interception.
Yes.
Has he never gotten an interception?
He'll be on Good Morning America for sure.
Oh, has he never gotten an interception before?
No. No, his first career interception.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, DeMar Hamlin is not – he was a third stringer when he was out there playing against the Bengals that fateful night in 2023. This is a Bills defense that is down major, major players. Mostly because they got rid of them.
Currently?
Yeah.
But they were missing their middle linebacker last night.
Major players who are 39 years old and 4 years past their prime.
Listen, I know a lot of people who thought the Bills were going to take this major step back.
And I know a lot of people in this room who picked them to win the AFC East, and you're not one of them, and I am.
I did. I picked them to go to the wild card. And by the way, I'm not actually jumping off that yet. I still want to see them play against Baltimore on Monday night. And they always split with the Jets, even with Zach Wilson as the quarterback. And I want to see them go to Houston. Speaking of petty, let's see what Stephon Diggs has in store for the Bills. So there's a lot to do. With three straight road games, this is about to get a lot tougher.
You're right. I mean, they haven't played anybody. I've got a lot going on here in this segment.
And I love that Josh Allen could finally win an MVP. Again, it's super early, and the guy who's leading after three weeks is generally never the guy who wins it.
You don't want to win the Heisman in September.
No, it's not a good look. But I do like that he is getting some credit, which I think he gets enough of, but in a different way. Which is, he's the top of the food chain, and there's no question about it. And with Diggs there, I think there could have been a bit of a question, or maybe internally there was a little bit of like, I'm the guy, you're whatever. And there's none of that now. Nobody can complain about not getting catches. Nobody can complain about targets. The offense just runs how it's supposed to run. You don't have to worry about feeding this guy or that guy. It's just whoever it gets the mismatch, they get the ball. That's it.
Yeah, I know.
I love it.
Kind of sad, though, that you're worried about the MVP.
You know, he's kinda never won it.
I mean, you would have called me a little bit of loser energy there.
I don't know if they have a good enough team to win the Super Bowl. That's why. And they can't beat the Chiefs. So until further notice, this is kind of what I have. It's kind of like Joel
don't
Embiid.
Do that. I know. I have to say, I relate to this as a 76ers fan.
Yeah.
You cannot care about Josh Allen winning the MVP. He's at the stage where that means nothing.
I understand.
This is ring or bust.
Nobody knows that more than me. But until they beat the Chiefs, this is a moot point. They say in the broadcast last night, they said that nobody has more wins in the last, they were doing Sean McDermott's tenure, right? So the last 7 years, then it's Kansas City and the Bills.
And nobody's won as many games and not gotten to the Super Bowl as the Bills.
Right.
So forget MVP. You cannot talk about MVP.
Keep running into the Chiefs and that one time the Bengals.
Don't consider. I mean, Jalen Hurts was an MVP consideration. Like, it doesn't mean anything. It's nothing.
Well, he got to a Super Bowl, so it's different.
Yeah, well, you have, and even so, like, being the MVP is not going to help. You got to win in the playoffs for this team. I'm sorry, Josh Allen has elevated himself where the better he plays, the more he has to win a Super Bowl, Maggie, not to add pressure to you.
mean, I know, gosh, I should suit up and get out there.
You should. By the way, if, you know, since the Milano injury, you should.
If you, well, they're doing without Milano.
You have the mentality of a middle linebacker. You just don't have the
skill.
You got the feet.
I have the feet.
Well, foot size, not footwork.
No, not the footwork. I have the foot size of the biggest middle linebacker to ever play the game.
Yeah, the feet might get in the way. Like,
you should be 6'3", 245 with those feet.
Just by the feet. Yeah. When I was born, the doctor's like, she's going to be 6'2".
A dolphin?
I topped out at 5'8".
Yeah. The outside linebacker can't rush the passer because Maggie stepped on his foot by accident.
That's my only move. He's out there stepping on feet.
Personal foul, tripping.
Number three, Maggie Gray.
I'm walking here.
I mean, if we were going to assign a position to Maggie as a, if she was a football player, it'd definitely be an off-ball linebacker for sure. I would be a backup.
I'm not a skill position
player. I would 1,000% be a backup quarterback.
You were born for it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's the greatest job in all of sports. You sit there, you wear a hat, you come in and throw some touchdowns. Yeah, you might get a commercial. It's fun. Bogus, what are you?
Bogus.
I feel like he's maybe
diva wide receiver.
Diva wide receiver. No.
Complaining he didn't get enough touches.
Very talented.
No, I'm
not making snide remarks on the sidelines all the time.
Stephon Diggs called out Josh Allen.
I don't know. I'm a team first guy. Plus, I am not fast or athletic or anything like that. So that's a stretch, diva wide receiver.
But we consider you a very talented broadcaster with attitude problems.
I would have.
Guys calling Nets game should be calling Monday Night Football, that kind of thing.
Can I be a backup quarterback that's because I'm annoying that you can't put me on a team with a young quarterback because I would put pressure on him?
Nah.
Like, can I be Joe Flacco?
Like, I'm not a mentor.
No.
Oh, to be a Joe Flacco.
Ryan Tannehill. I'm not here to mentor anybody.
It's not my job. It's Pete's job.
Ryan Botcher on the other side of glass, he is a Matthew Slater like special teams ace, just quietly helping the team in ways that no one else can see.
I would say long snapper.
Yeah. No, that position's already taken.
Who's that? Oh, Peter Schwartz.
we literally have one in the building.
Sure.
I feel like
you want to hold?
No, that's boring. Okay. That's backup quarterback duty.
I feel like
what do you get for EJ? I know what EJ is.
I have my theory on EJ. You want to go?
GM.
There you go.
No.
Love that.
I see EJ, and I have no idea why, you're a running back who's very effective catching balls out of the backfield.
Mm. Okay.
Like a Gio Bernard.
James White.
James White.
Samaje Perine. I feel like you have multi-talented. Like, you can run through the tackles, but you're also dangerous as a pass catcher.
That would make
sense. And you can pick up the blitz.
I'm not taking 30 carries of punishment, so.
I definitely
would be fine with the 5 catches and 5 carries.
EJ's got the shoulder bag at the combine. He's already on his third coffee or tea, whatever you have. He's just like, he's got a folder full of draft prospects. Got 2 cell phones working the war room. That's your role.
I mean, I spent like 3 hours yesterday trying to continue my rebuild of Hawaii football and college football 125. So I think Maggie's got this one right.
Thank you. Bogus has headlines for us.
Jaden Daniels got some weapons in Washington, but I don't think we knew about this one before last night.
Second and goal at the 1. Offset eye, play action. Daniels pumps, throws, wide open. Trent Scott is the recipient of Jaden Daniels' first career touchdown pass.
How about that? Was that on your bingo card, Bram? It was not on mine.
If you don't know Trent Scott by name, he's an offensive lineman, not the likely target of Daniels' first career TD. The call from Commanders Radio. Daniels' second touchdown pass last night went to a more traditional Terry McLaurin. It helped seal a 38-33 win in Cincinnati. Daniels completing 21 of 23 passes for 254 yards. His 91.3 completion percentage, the best ever by a rookie, and it dropped the Bengals to 0-3 for the first time in 5 seasons. Josh Allen carved up those Jaguars, 4 TD throws all in the first half of a 47-10 romp in Buffalo. The Bills 3-0 and looked particularly good last night, but Allen is not getting carried away.
You don't win a Super Bowl, get into the playoffs with 3 games, and I think this team understands that. Like I said, we'll watch this film and put this behind us as quickly as we can, and you know, like I said, we have a really good team that we're going into, and, you know, we got to be ready.
That is next Sunday night, right, in Baltimore for
Derrick
them.
Henry has killed the Bills in the past, too. We'll see.
Jaguars head coach Doug Peterson saying post-game changes on the horizon for his club. In their last 10 quarters, they've scored just 23 points. Trevor Lawrence completing less than half his passes, and he's been sacked 10 times. Sam Darnold's knee appears to be okay, an MRI showing no structural damage after Darnold got banged up in Sunday's win over the Texans. Kevin O'Connell expects his QB to have a normal week of prep for Sunday's game with the Packers. Jim Harbaugh says post-game x-rays on Justin Herbert's ankle negative. He remained today with that high ankle sprain. John Harbaugh says his kicker, Justin Tucker, is working through a technique issue. That's why Tucker is just 5-for-8 on field goals through three games. Oof. The Pac-12 has reportedly gotten a yes from Utah State after Memphis, Tulane, USF, and UTSA all decided to stay in the AAC. Utah State's exit would leave the Mountain West with just 7 members, but UNLV is reportedly reconsidering its options after recommitting to the league earlier in the day. Texas football still calling Quinn Ewers and his oblique strain questionable for Saturday's SEC opener with Mississippi State. And North Carolina head coach Mack Brown says he should have never put his resignation on the table for his players after Saturday's loss to JMU. Brown says it was not fair to put that on them, and he apologized to them later Saturday night. Now, before we run up his breakfast tab, let's allow Pearl to celebrate for a minute.
The pitch. Swung on, hit in the air, deep right center field. On the run, Castellanos. He is there. He's got it. And the Phillies close out the National League East. They are the champions of 2024.
Scott Fransky on Phil's Radio. First division title since 2011, courtesy of a 6-2 home win over the Cubs. The Astros failing to clinch the AL West, losing at home to Seattle 6-1. And the Diamondbacks took a 6-3 home loss from the Giants. That drops them into the third NL wildcard spot, a half game behind the Mets. And I don't want to... Oh, please.
I don't like any of this.
Which part?
I don't like being the front runner in the National League. You were about to mention the Mets. Feel like a Phillies-Mets showdown is looming, and the Phillies have everything to lose, and the Mets have nothing to lose. I like it when the Phillies sneak into the playoffs and go on a run. This is making me all very uncomfortable, and I think you guys can relate to that, like, as Mets fans.
How dare you want your team to be good? Well, they didn't leave the National League East the whole season. What do you mean?
I mean, that's
you can't be the underdog now. You've been dominant.
Yeah, but it's been the trend in baseball is the team that gets hot at the end run through the rest, like the 85 win team. There hasn't been, I looked at the stats, there hasn't been an NL winner with over 90 wins in 4 years. Like, you have to be.
Mets are the so Dodgers keep blowing it.
Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers, but everybody, like, the Mets are so dangerous right now. This is shaping up to be my nightmare.
I don't like this. There's no, like,
because you guys want to be the
reverse
yeah,
psychology.
You guys want to be the underdog.
I wish
and
we
so
were the
I.
Mets. The Mets are super dangerous.
They
no
are.
Thanks. No, thank you. The Mets aren't in yet. You won the NL East last night with a whole week to spare.
Also, by the way, the last time you guys made the World Series, you did exactly what you said you wanted. The late surge, you get hot, you went all the way to the World Series and you lost. So maybe you need to change it up a little bit.
I mean, they took the Astros to 6 games. That was pretty darn good. I do think that baseball designed to help these wildcard teams. I'm really worried about the whole setup here. It's not, and I'm not alone, by the way, because the Phillies have not looked great the last month or so.
Yeah, and you're right that the recent history seems a little bit odd, but is it enough of a sample size to know for sure that it's better to be a wild card team than a top two seed and have those first handful of days off?
Yes. I don't know. You guys,
this helps, so you get a little
healthy. I think you guys think I'm emotionally hedging here, but
yes.
You have to be nervous, right?
No.
For you?
For the Phillies, yes, you
no.
really
no.
have to be
no.
nervous. Yeah, there
not.
Are a lot of flaws. There are a lot of flaws.
Can't wait for that first Kyle Schwarber leadoff home run.
You prefer to not have the best team.
That's crazy.
And the best home field advantage in the sport?
Yeah, I mean, they lost the last 2 games against the Diamondbacks in the NLCS last year.
Yeah, you said it was no big deal because it's all about the birds.
Right.
And then they went on to collapse.
I'm logical. I mean, listen, I have to protect my feelings. I have to protect my inner sports fan child here. I cannot. Even last night, you could see the Phillies celebrating was a little bit muted. There's some nerves here.
Okay. Well, then you don't get to celebrate if they win the World Series.
I'll take that. I get the World Series win. That's fine.
No Phillies gear.
Nothing.
No garb.
Nope.
We're
fine.
Not playing a highlight.
Fine. I could care less.
No, because you don't care when they lose either. You'll just say, oh, it doesn't matter. We're on to Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts.
Give me Paul George.
So you don't get the fruits of the victory either.
That's fine.
All right, then no Philly stuff. Not even underneath the sweatshirt. Not even hidden.
No light blue will be in this studio.
No red.
No Christmas socks either.
Nothing.
Like you did to
no
Bogus
Philly
last
fanatic
year.
Yeah. Stuff.
I wish I had some Philly Fanatic stuff. I love the Philly.
I got socks. You want them?
Yes.
If they've never been worn, I'll bring them back in.
So wait, when does the ban on Philly stuff start?
Yesterday.
Well, this moment, since you said that basically you don't want to, you don't like this team. You don't like where you are.
I don't. I really don't. I mean, you guys are all looking at me like you guys have to understand this as a Mets team. When the Mets win 100 games, you know it's going to implode. Like, deep in your soul, you know it's going to fall apart. This is the most dangerous Mets team that has ever existed.
It's about you. It's about you.
No, it isn't about me, because I cannot handle coming to work. I might have to go on sabbatical. If the Mets beat the Phillies in the playoffs, I just will not be able to handle any of you.
Well, maybe you look at it this way. Maybe this is the sports gods telling you you needed a dose of this. You know, maybe having four Mets fans on one Philly fan, and if you lose to the Mets, maybe it's the sports gods telling you, hey, ease up on the Mets jokes.
That's true.
Maybe say, ease up. I don't want to do that. That's half my material.
And you're so worried about us attacking you when you're the one who yesterday said EJ was an egomaniac. And
I never said he was an egomaniac.
I've been the victim of a lifted kilt from you.
A lifted kilt.
So again, like, we're the ones taking bullets. It's not, and you're so afraid of us. We're nice to you.
Wow. You guys, first of all.
What was under that
kilt? I'm warning you.
Not the Philly Fanatic.
Do you guys remember? You guys should all be scared of the Miami Hurricanes winning. Because do you know what Miami Hurricanes fans are like when they're on top of the world?
Haven't met one.
It is the worst of the worst. I'm old enough to remember. It's the worst thing that could ever happen. By the way, I'll take the Mets being the Phillies. Miami Hurricanes winning the national title in football. EJ's head will not be able to fit through the door with that. As a sports fan,
I'm talking about. I'm winning a Barry Bonds size hat.
Sell sombreros for the U?
EJ walks in with a small smile every day. Have you noticed that?
He's happy.
Because Miami's number six in the country.
Seven.
Did you see Bill Belichick breaking down Cam Ward? By the way,
does he like him?
Big fan.
He should.
CJ Stroud-esque. He says,
"Wow,
yeah,
the kid's legit." I'm just saying. I don't know why Proloff can't join the bandwagon. Miami fans, there actually aren't a lot of us.
I do. I
that's why
I'm like,
just join. Just jump. I don't care. We want as many people to revel in this season as possible.
EJ, you're asking him to go against Penn State. Philly's team.
Yes, it's very deep loyalty.
As he said, no one else actually corroborates.
Nothing. If I want to make Maggie angry, all I have to bring up is that there's a lot of Penn State fans. The Philadelphia Inquirer covers Penn State like a home team. They have a beat writer who, it's a front page news when they play.
I get
why are they not a Philadelphia team? Penn State, Pennsylvania.
Because our former boss, Spike Eskin, has his finger on the pulse of this and said, you're crazy.
There are six D1 schools in Pennsylvania, in Philly.
Yeah.
Not in football.
No, I mean just in general. And they're all like Division 1A or
they're all
FBS,
good at basketball.
FCS.
It's a basketball town. We need Penn State. Who are you guys to set the rules of fandom here?
Because yours are so illogical, nonsensical. Mr. Bandwagon Jumper, Mr. Baseball Doesn't Matter.
Right, you have no rules. That's the problem.
Yeah. I have rules that work out for one person, Andrew Perloff. I'm just trying to protect myself. I do not want to feel the pain of the Phillies losing to the Mets. That is, by the way, the smartest thing I could ever do.
How do you know it's going to go that way?
Right, they're the Mets. They're going to lose before the Phillies.
I mean, the Braves are probably going to win the whole thing somehow.
That's just death and taxes. 855-212-4227. All right, we do this now on every Tuesday coming up. We're going to do our rookie power rankings. Let's do that next. All right, welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We do this on Tuesdays once all the games are in the books. Week 3 of the NFL season is done. So our top 5 rookies and our rookie power rankings. Perloff, finally we get some quarterbacks, I think, have infiltrated both of our lists.
Yeah, so how are we going to do this? Do you want me to give my 5 and give your 5?
Sure.
There were some standouts this week, so we'll probably have some similar ones. I'm going to start at number 5, Eagles cornerback Quinyon Mitchell. Broke up a surefire touchdown to Rashid Shaheed of the Saints. He's really good. Yep. And the Eagles have not had good cornerbacks. So that's my number 5. Number 4, Laiatu Latu. Colts, huge sack fumble against the Bears. That game was really close to Colts-Bears. He's so fast. He was the first defensive player taken in the draft. I think the Colts kind of stole him. Now, I don't think the Colts are really good, but I think he's going to be really good. Okay, number 3, This was tough because it's hard not to put him number one, but Bo Nix was fire. The Broncos quarterback leading them past the Buccaneers, doing it with his legs like a young Bo Nix at Auburn. I don't understand how fast he is, because last year at Oregon, he felt like more of a pocket quarterback. You remember that he used to be a mobile quarterback. Number two, Malik Nabers. The only downside is he is too good, and he's going to keep Daniel Jones in New York, possibly, which is the Giants' worst nightmare. I love everything. He's like a thick, powerful Odell Beckham Jr. He's like a combo of Tyreek Hill and Odell Beckham. He is fantastic. And how can you not do Jaden Daniels number one?
All right, our lists are shockingly similar this week.
Oh, no.
But I have Braden Fisk as number five.
Sure.
Obviously, the Rams, everyone who was healthy, who was still on the field to contribute to that upset of San Francisco 49ers, has to get a shout out. He's actually been good the last 2 weeks and had a massive moment in the game with a fumble recovery. He's actually recovered a fumble in two consecutive games, so good for him. Fourth on my list, that's where I put Bo Nix. I was so close to betting the Bucks and laying the 6.5. I'm so glad our friend Nick Costos talked me out of that. I thought that Denver was going to just be on life support all season long, and now the season has a little glimmer of hope. Leiatu Latu, agree with you. He's number three on my list. I mean, this was not a standout game offensively for Indianapolis, but they won the game basically with their defense. And
The Bears.
Yeah, against the Bears. I mean, that was just a rough game.
But Latu was awesome.
He was a standout. Two is Malik Nabers for me. One is Jaden Daniels. And listen, it's Jaden Daniels' world right now. He's the guy because he was basically perfect last night. And that's not just, he's playing some no-show team. It's the Bengals we're talking about. Sending the Bengals to 0-3 is a big deal. And you can say, well, the Bengals, you know, they shouldn't have messed around and lost that opening game to the Patriots. The Patriots are going to be bad. And they have this thing, we can get off to a slow start and we can make up for it. Eventually, that's going to catch up with you. And I think it's catching up with the Bengals right now. Clearly, it is.
You know, there was a moment on Sunday where Malik Nabers made a ridiculous touchdown catch. Then Marvin Harrison Jr. On another channel made a ridiculous touchdown catch. So I think there's a good debate, like, what's going to be more special, this wide receiver class or this quarterback class? Because we had six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks. But Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers feels a lot like a superstar duo to me.
But it's just funny. So Marvin Harrison was in my top five last week and dropped out this week.
Yeah, but he looked really good.
He did.
On Sunday. I mean, that team is not great, but...
The offensive lineman for the Saints... Alufanga.
There's a couple players with similar names right there. But yeah, but the Saints' offense didn't do much. So.
I know. That's why he had to drop out.
Yeah. Joe Alt got hurt and also had some troubles. It's hard to be a rookie lineman.
Talese Fuaga.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't know how he played this week.
I mean, you didn't score. How can I give it to someone on the offense?
You didn't run the ball. The thing about the Saints in those two early games, the ball was out immediately. Like, the offensive line didn't have to do anything. Carr was just picking apart the opposing teams. So we'll see. I'll tell you right now that Joe Alt and J.C. Latham in Tennessee, that's not working out. The left tackles, it's just really hard to come in and play left tackle. And your guy in the Chiefs, did you have Kingsley Suamata up there?
That was week one, and he has not made an appearance since then.
I think he got
benched. Yeah.
It's hard when you're on the bench.
Sean is our pal in Oregon. Sean, you got 15 seconds, bud. What's up?
Hey, Andrew. You don't want to be that flim-flam Philly fan. You're the city of brotherly love, brother, and the Phillies are going to be just fine. You'd be a believer. The Mets will do what the Mets do. And you'll be fine, brother. Don't be insecure. You be confident. You go home and get a nap. It'll be a lot better tomorrow. You guys have a great day.
Life advice, too.
Here's the problem. Losing baseball games is like a slow torture. It hurts so bad because you're just watching and you're like, God, this, I need a hit so bad.
You're asking Perloff to be positive. Have you met Perloff? This is not happening.
I'm positive about various bandwagons I jump on. My own teams. And who are you to talk?
I would never claim it. Coming up, the biggest thing we learned last night, we'll tell you next.